All right, you guys ready? Book of James, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 through 17. Here we go. James 4, 13 through 17 says this. Now listen. Everybody listening? Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning as we look at these few verses that you, Holy Spirit, would teach us what we need to see. That it wouldn't simply be words that come in, but that it would be truth that permeates the inner corridors of our minds and our hearts, that you'd soften us from the inside out, and that today, tomorrow, and every day would be different as a result of what you teach us in these few moments. Father, please forgive the speaker. I am a sinful man and I need your grace. But I thank you that it is only by your power that we can do anything. So I pray that you this morning will speak and that your family here at church would hear and be changed as a result. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick question for you. How many of you, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, would say that you are a planner? If you're a planner, would you just raise your hand? Just go ahead. Now, by the way, isn't there a little bit of pride in being a planner? I'm a planner. I love to plan. Every night before, or every day before I leave the office, I have a list, and I put out my list of things I'm going to do the next day, and I plan. It's not just like the next day. I'm already planning what I'm going to preach next spring. I know what I'm planning to preach the weeks leading up to Easter next year. I love to plan. I kind of get a little nervous. There's a little cold beads of sweat when plans get changed. Now, so some of you are planners. How many of you would just say that, yeah, you're not so much of a planner? You're not even sure if you should raise your hand. You haven't planned to do that this morning, okay? Some of you are like surprised. Wait, really? Okay, yes. So some of us would say we are planners. Others of us would say that, am I off? You are dismissed. Oh, hey, no, you're not. Never mind. Continuing. That you are, we are all different planners. Now, here's the thing I know about you. If you are a big planner, or if you're a little bitty planner, same thing's true. Every person in here, whether they say they're a planner or not, plans for things that are important to them. Have you noticed this? Okay, high school students, around sophomore, junior year, you begin to practice your SATs and you start working through planning and working, and you are preparing for college. Why? Because college is important to you. And if it's not important to you, we know it's important to your mom and dad. 18 years with us, now go away. And so you plan for college because it is important. How many of you, if you're dating, and you really like that girl, don't you, fella? You just, man, when you're around her, you're like, she's my girl. And then the day comes, you think, maybe I could be with this girl for the rest of my life. And so maybe you're not a big planner, but you still plan enough to trip over one knee and get down so you can say, will you marry me? And then ladies, you know that if you are now engaged, you begin that big, massive planning process for what big day? Any of you ever get married in here, ladies? You get planning and prepping for your wedding day, and you have to get the right color for your bridesmaid dresses, you have to figure out the flowers, you have to figure out, and us guys, we don't have to plan. In fact, all the guys wear the same outfit, so that way if the groom should drop dead, there's another guy who can stand in his place. We don't plan, but you plan, you get it all set, and then you get married, and you get pregnant, and then you have 9 months to prepare and plan for what? when that little baby shows up. And so you're preparing, you're planning, you're talking about what you're going to do with the room. Are you going to have a crib? Are you going to have something in your own bedroom? Are you going to paint the bedroom? Are you going to childproof everything? My sweet wife, she is such a good planner and so security conscious that, I mean, I'm changing outlets in our house with different covers, and I'm like, he can't even move yet, and we're already putting things on. I mean, we're putting deadbolts on cabinets, everything. I mean, you're planning, because here's why. You and I plan for the things that are important to us. But here's something that James is going to call us out on. He's going to say many Christians trust more in their strategies than the leading of the Spirit. And that's not a good plan. He's going to say that some of us are so focused on our side of the preparation that we have completely forgotten the one who is controlling all of the universe. I love what Mike Tyson said. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Can I get an amen? You just have never been punched in the mouth. You don't know what that's like then. Every one of us, we have big plans, big dreams, big anticipations, but then life comes, life changes things, something happens, and plans are changed. Now, here's what you need to understand, and here's where we're going to go in the next few minutes together. To be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus means that you surrender all of your plans to God. You submit it to the boss, and you say, what do you think? Here's what I know. If you are in Christ, your soul is secure, but your schedule is now at risk because he is now the one who dictates what you do. You've heard the old phrase, you want to make God laugh? Just tell him your plans. And so we're going to look at this little passage this morning. Now, here's where we've been so you get the context. The big idea for this entire little book of James that we've been going through on Sundays and Wednesdays. And by the way, Wednesday night, you do not want to miss Wednesday night. Because I'm going to give you some content from this morning that I can't get into this morning on Wednesday night. We're going to go a little deeper and kind of help you a little bit more. But we've been going through this on Sunday and Wednesdays, and here's the big idea, the summary statement for the entire book of James. Are you ready? Here it is. We've said this each time, but I'll say it again. James says that genuine faith leads to good deeds. Let's say it all together. Are you ready? Let's just do this as a church. Genuine faith leads to good deeds. And he's giving us different examples throughout life of how the faith you have in God will dictate what you do. And now he's going to say, let me talk to you about your calendar. And in these few verses, he basically from here is going to offer us a question, a correction, and some direction. A question, correction, and some direction. Let's look at verse 13. Notice what he says again here in verse 13. He says, now listen. That's a Semitic phrase that's really about to lay the hammer down. Now you listen. Now, by the way, any of you ever have your parents when you're growing up kind of get down and go, look, eyes up here, eyes up here. What were they wanting you to do? Well, eyes up there. They want to get your attention. James is saying, now listen, come on, pay attention. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Now, as soon as we start into this, the question always comes up, well, is it wrong to make plans? Like is it wrong? And some of you who are not planners, you're going, yes, I have finally found my life verse. It is not okay to plan. Thank you, Lord. No. It is good to plan. We know it's good to plan. In fact, I ran across this. It's supposedly from the Peace Corps. This cannot be true. It cannot be true. But this was supposedly the 10 steps that they sent with Peace Corps members who were going down to the Amazon and other snake-infested places. And it's the 10 steps for what to do when an anaconda attacks you. When an anaconda snake attacks. And here's what it says here. Number one, if you are attacked by an anaconda, do not run. The snake is faster than you are. Okay. Number two, lie flat on the ground, very still. Number three, put your arms tight at your sides and your feet against one another. Step number four, the snake will begin to climb all over your body. Step number five, do not panic. Too late! Step number six, the snake will begin to swallow you feet first. Step number 7. Step 6 will take a long time. Goody. Step number 8. Slowly and with as little movement as possible, take your knife, slide it into the snake's mouth, and suddenly sever the snake's head. Step number 9, be sure your knife is sharp. That should be step number 1 or 2, I would imagine. And step number 10, be sure you have your knife. Because again, no good without it. Now this cannot be true. But here's the question, is it wrong to plan? No. The Proverbs, Hebrew wisdom literature, over and over and over again talks about how planning is part of what wise people do. Jesus himself talks about a foolish person as the guy who goes out and says, I'm going to build a tower, gets started, but doesn't plan well, so he doesn't have enough money and he can't finish his project. So what is it that he is saying here? Well, he gives us the explanation really in verse 16. Notice what he says in verse 16. He says, as it is, you boast, you brag. All such boasting is evil. Now, Tim Keller, he's a professor, a speaker, a teacher, and just a brilliant guy. He was the first one who made this observation. I thought it was so helpful. He said, boasting was a key ritual in warfare in the ancient world. If you were to go out into battle, one of the things you could always expect from the general or the leader of the army is he was going to start to brag about how great you were, how great he was, how powerful your army was. Because how do you get hundreds or thousands of men to run headlong into their certain death? You got to boost them up somehow. I mean, you say, hey, we're going to take on this city. We're going to take on this army. And you know, and they know that a half of the men, a third of the men, a fourth of the men, they're not going to make it home for dinner that night. How do you get them to run headlong? Well, you have the guy say, tonight. And have you ever seen a war movie? You've seen this before. Old-time war movie. The general gets up and he says something like, tonight we will be feasting in their halls. Tonight we will have set this entire city ablaze. What's he doing? He is boasting in their power to get his troops to face the future. Here's what James is saying. You and I will boast in whatever we think will ultimately help us face tomorrow. You and I boast in the things that we think will help us face tomorrow. He said, and by the way, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 9, famous passage about boasting, you might want to jot this down, go read it later this week, but Jeremiah 9, the prophet speaking on behalf of God says, hey, all this boasting in your wealth and your power and your strength and who you are, it is evil, it is wrong, don't do it. Why? Because he's saying, it's not that you don't make plans, it's that you are putting your hope in your own ability, and it is your thoughts, your plans, who you think you are that is causing you to face forward. He says, listen, as Christ followers, our confidence in tomorrow is not my plans. It is in Jesus Christ. He said all sorts of boasting where it's like, it's all about me, me, me. He says, don't do it. So here's the question that James offers. Here's a question. Is your trust in a plan or in a man named Jesus? Today, if you were to take inventory of your life, right now, you're facing something tomorrow or next week, or you have something on the calendar, you have a situation brewing, or you're waiting to hear back from the doctor. Is your confidence, is your trust, is your security in a plan? Well, if I eat right, then I will live long. If I exercise, then I will live long. If I save enough, if I work an extra 3, 4, 5 jobs, if I do these things, then I'll have security. Is your trust in your plan or in a man named Jesus? Because one is all about you. One is about one who's much bigger than you. And I love this. Many Christians put their hope, their strength, their everything into their own strength, and not the Spirit of God, in their own plans, and not in the power of God. And he says, don't you realize that's kind of a silly proposition? Did you read verse 14? Look at what he says here, verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Now, I know, if I were to just say, hey, how many of you think that you know what will happen tomorrow? You know, none of us would raise our hands here because we'd all go, well, I know where we're going with this. But some of us would be like, well, no, I'm pretty good at guessing the future. Well, I got it. Here's the deal. I think I know what's going to happen later today. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen later today. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go to a Bible class. I'm going to be fed the Word of God. By the way, if you're not in Bible class, you need to be in a class. You need to be encouraged. After that, I'm going to get in my car. My wife and our kids are going to get in our other car. We're going to go home. Now, I do not plan to be in a wreck today. I plan to get home. I plan to sit at our table. I plan to have a great lunch with my wife and my kids. And I plan for my kids to treat each other like Jesus Christ. They're going to just speak nice to one another. They're going to say, would you please pass the salt? Oh, certainly, brother. Here's the salt. Can I get you anything else? That's my plan. And then they're going to look at their mother and me, and they're going to fawn over us and speak good words of how great we are. You are wonderful parents. How great you are to think of these things that we should eat. Vegetables, mother, you are brilliant. That is my plan for this afternoon. Then I'm going to have a little nap. I'm going to lay down. I'm then going to get up. I've got a little work I've got to do this afternoon. I'm going to do that. And then this evening, I'm going to play with my kids. Again, they're not going to fuss. They're not going to fight. We're going to do great. We're going to get down to bed at a good hour tonight, and I'm going to get a solid 7 hours of sleep. That's my plan. How much of that do you think is really, for sure, going to happen? Meh. I don't even know what's happening today, let alone tomorrow, let alone next year. Listen, do we have any control freaks in the house? Anyone in here who just likes to be? Do we have anyone who's honest in the church this morning? You just want to be in control. You need to be in control. Listen, I don't do it often, but when I get a taxi somewhere, I want to sit in the front seat. Look, we're going old school driving here. 10 and 2, 10 and 2. Come on, boy. Did you yield? No, you did not yield. Here's the speed limit. That's not a suggestion. You say, why? Because I've got a hope and a future, and I don't want anyone messing it up for me, okay? But here's the reality. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. You don't know what tomorrow will hold. And so then James asks this really, really uncomfortable question. He says, hey, what is your life? Like if you were to put everything that's you on a table, what would be on that table? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? What matters most to you? What possessions have you acquired? What reputation do you have? Where do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? What is your life? What is the sum of who you are? He says, listen, you think you're all that, Josh, but you're not. You're nothing more than a mist. Let me show you what I mean. We've done this before, but let's do it again. Any of you ever take a shower and you get that nice steam in the bathroom? You know, the one where you go over to the mirror and you have to go to see your face, and it always makes that sound right. And you're like, mine doesn't make that sound. Woo-hoo. Okay, fine. But you go in, you've got this fog, you've got this mist. You open a door, though, and it's gone, isn't it? Some of us in here are thinking, man, I'm going to live. I'm doing everything right. I've got a plan. I've got a future. I've got it all figured out. And James goes, okay, you're going to live a big life. You got big plans. Oh, that's so cute. You want to see your life? You want to see it? Ray? Oh. You want to see it again? You want to see your life again? He goes, here's your life. Just one more time. You ready? Bye-bye. Here today, gone tomorrow. He says, you think you have all these plans. Some of you come up to me and say, Josh, come on, look. I do CrossFit. It's not an exercise. It's a lifestyle. Okay, fine. You come up. So you're going to live a long time. What's a long life? I'm going to live 80, 90. I'm going to live 100 years. Okay, you want to see your life? Ready? Goodbye. Big life. Squirt, squirt. Goodbye. He says, you and I are but a vapor. We are here for such a short time. And so many of us are making plans without even asking the one who holds all of our tomorrows. There are others in here, you say, well, you know, I'm a family man. I'm gonna leave a legacy. I'm going to raise kids who love God, or they're going to do great things, and I'm going to do this and this and this because of my legacy. That's great. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know your great-great-grandfather's name? You want to know his name? That's it. And one day, as sobering and as frustrating as this may be, I will not be remembered. There's coming a day where people will not know that there was ever a Joshua Franklin Diggs. Franklin? Yeah, Franklin. I like Frank. And there's coming a day where no one will remember you either. At least not this side of eternity. So James says, listen, is it wrong to make plans? No. But you think you can control your life, you can control tomorrow by your plans. He said, listen, if you're a control freak, why don't you put your hands in the hand of the one who controls everything? So many of us are focusing on these few years here on earth, the temporal moments. Listen, you are an eternal being who will live for eternity. Why don't you focus your plans on that which is forever instead of just always in this little rat race of maybe just a little more, maybe just a little more, maybe just a little more? And he says, you've got to stop this self-focused life. Let me ask you a question. Your life, do you think God made you so that you could have a self-satisfying, secure, safe, sort of bubble wrap covered life? Is that what you're here for? To work long enough to save just enough so that way you can go retire on a beach and sip pina coladas until you rot? Is that God's plan for us? No. He has such bigger plans for you and for me. What is your life? He says, let me tell you what your life is. Your life had a beginning date, but in me, Christ says, it will not have an ending date. In him, your life may span only a few years on this earth, but by his power and by his will, if you will listen to what he says, it will touch eternity, not just for you, but for others. And then for an eternity, you will be celebrating the goodness of God. What is your life? Some of us are living way too small of life because we're focusing on only the plans that we can make. So he says, let me give you a little correction here, a little help in this one. Verse 15, he goes on to say this. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. Let's say that phrase together. You ready? If it's the Lord's will. Let's do this one more time. If it's the Lord's will. Now, some people in the back, I don't hear you. If it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will, we will live. Wait, what? Hold on. Don't go too fast here. Who controls if you live or die, family? It's the Lord. Now again, free will in these questions. Do you have free will? Do you have responsibility? Absolutely. But don't miss the point James is making, that the Lord is ultimately in control of all things and all plans. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it's the Lord's will. Listen, have you ever met Christians who treat this like a cliche? Just real quick, raise your hand if you've ever met a creepy Christian. Let me describe a creepy Christian for you. They talk one way when they're talking. They talk a different way when they're praying. They may wear like that shirt. It looks like a Sprite shirt, you know, the Sprite logo, but it actually says Spirit on it. By the way, if you have that shirt, it's an awesome shirt. Okay, creepy Christian who uses this as a cliche. If it's Lord will, hey, could you pass the ketchup? If it's the Lord's will. If it's the, pass the ketchup, okay? I heard one guy say he invited a friend to church, and his friend said, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll be there. And my friend was like, dude, where else would the Lord will for you to be on Sunday morning? This is not a cliche. This is, family, James wants you and I not to treat this like a cliche, but to recognize it as a personal conviction. Go ahead, here, correction, put this up on screen. It is not a sin to plan, just include Jesus in your plans. If it's the Lord's will. Look, I would like to do these things. I have these plans. Our staff went away on Thursday and then Friday came back. We do once a year, we go off and we plan and we prepare. We lay out plans. We ask the Lord to lead us and guide us, but we put it on paper. Here's the key. Just write your plans in pencil, not ink. If it's the Lord's will, plan, but invite God into those plans. Because here's the reality. Some of us have big plans, but we are not going to see them realized. The scary thing is, and look, as your preacher, I love you too much to play the church games. Like, here's three steps for a good life. Because that is, it doesn't match reality. The reality is, right now, we are the first weekend in March. This time next year, some of us will not still be living. I will be doing some of your funerals this year. Or perhaps you'll be attending mine. I don't know. Here's the reality. Tomorrow, some of us, we have these big plans. Tomorrow, some of us are going to know people, or we're going to read in the newspaper, or maybe even someone we know is going to get in a car with a plan to get to a destination, and they never arrive because they're in a wreck. There are going to be people tomorrow who are going to get news from their doctor that they have 6 months to live. There are going to be people tomorrow who get the notice after working 30 years at their job that their work is now done. They're downsizing and they've been left out. Our plans do not amount to anything. It is the Lord who leads us, and it is only wise Christ followers who say, I will think and plan as best I can, but God, it is up to you to lead me. You say, Josh, that's terrifying. Oh my goodness, that's so scary. Listen, it's only scary if you think you have to be God and protect yourself. It is not terrifying at all if you know Jesus holds you. And so he ends with this, verse 17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. There are two types of sins, and we've talked about this before, but let me just say this again. There's the sins that you know that you should not do, but you do them anyway. Those are the sins of commission. You commit those sins. So you know you shouldn't lie, but you lie. You shouldn't gossip, but you gossip. Sins of commission. He says, did you know, though, that there is the sin of omission, the sin of saying, I should do that, but I don't want to. That's the way God is directing and willing my life, but I got different plans. He said, listen, to not do what God has called you to do, to live your life for yourself, to live your life self-focused, that is a sin. You should say, God, here are my plans. Now, I'm yours. I'm yours. And the most beautiful thing happens when we do that. God will lead us into places and experiences we can never, ever anticipate and are far better than we could ever imagine. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Doesn't mean it'll be safe. Following God's will is hard. Can I get an amen from anyone who's lived more than 2 minutes? You can still be in God's will and facing storms in life. Just ask Noah. You can be in a pit all alone and still be in the will of God. Just ask the little boy named Joseph. You can be facing a battle and still be in the will of God. Just ask Joshua. You can be in a fire and still be in the will of God. Just ask the three amigos, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can be sentenced to death and still be in the will of God. Just ask Jesus Christ. But you ask any of those men, or you ask anyone, if we had the ability to step over to the other side, you ask them, was it worth it? Even that fear of how things might work out, or not sure, or having to lay your plans down, was it worth it? You ask them, if we could step to the other side, you know what they would say? They'd say, are you kidding me? I had too small a vision for my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. That's why Jesus tells those he loves, says, do not fear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Did you know you'll never find anywhere in Scripture where it says God gives grace for tomorrow? He only gives grace for today. And he'll give you what you need to get through what you're going through. As the old phrase goes, tomorrow is a mystery. Yesterday is history. Death is a certainty, but today in Christ, today is always an opportunity. May we be a people who say, Lord, we will plan, but we are open to receiving your direction for our lives and see what he may do with us. We're going to go into a time of prayer now.